Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Tomorrow is Election Day in New Jersey, and it may be seen as a kind of referendum on Governor Christie. It's school budget election day, to be precise, and it has implications for New York as well, as the Empire State is considering going down the same 2% property tax increase cap road as the Garden State is now going down. Here to tell us what's at stake and help take your calls is John Mooney from the website NJ Spotlight, where issues matter. Hi, John. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And I want to open up the phones for anybody in New Jersey who plans to vote in the school budget election tomorrow. Some of the background here is that last year, most school budgets were rejected as Governor Christie was urging voters in the 600-plus school districts around the state to reject those budgets as a way to pressure teachers' unions. This year, the difference is that this 2% property tax cap is now in place. So, listeners, if you voted no on your local school budget last year, are you going to vote yes this year? Do you want to rebel against the cap because you feel it's going to result in too many cuts to your child's education? Or let's just take next 10 minutes or so, and then we're going to talk about the Middle East, to take some phone calls from some of you who intend to vote in a school budget election tomorrow. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. This really happening nationwide, this kind of downward pressure on local school budgets. And John, what changed between last year and this year?
Well, I mean, it's a very different year than we went through last year. Governor Christie, just into office, was very critical of school spending and making a big push to put some controls on property tax increases, and really went to the bully pulpit and argued against schools approving their budgets if their teachers weren't willing to take pay freezes. And at the same time, he had made a pretty significant cut, about as big as we've seen ever in New Jersey in terms of state aid to schools, close to $1 billion. And so there was a lot of downward pressure going on. We're still sort of deep in at least the recession fears. And as you mentioned, we had a record rejection of budgets. It was about 59% of budgets went down. I think it was really only the second time since people have been keeping track that a majority went down. And so it was a very tumultuous time. And this year we have, you know, the cuts that have been made. He's put a little bit more money back into schools, about a fifth of what he cut last year. A lot of schools, because of what happened last year, are coming in actually under the cap. So it's a much calmer time. I don't expect to see anywhere near the numbers that we saw rejected last year. He has not gone to the bully pulpit like he did last year as well. So I think you're going to see back to normal in New Jersey, and it's interesting for other states who are pondering this kinds of things, but it's where you only have about 10 or 15% of the people voting. It's a quieter time. Most budgets do pass. And I think that's going to be the situation tomorrow. At least that's my read so far.
John, is the vote tomorrow in any way a referendum on Christie, or again a referendum on teachers' union contracts, or anything larger in this sense?
Well, it could be. I mean, certainly it's going to be an interesting take on the mood of the voters after a year of Christie. I sense that there is going to be somewhat of, if you can read anything to it, and if I'm right in estimating what's going to happen, I think it will be somewhat of a voice of support for schools who have been beaten up pretty good in the last year or so. So I think in that way, but I think some of those larger battles, in terms of Christie's own legacy. I think a lot of those are going to show up more in the fall elections of the Assembly and the more quote unquote partisan elections. The Assembly and the Senate are in their entirety up for election this fall, and I think that's going to be more the referendum on Christie in particular. Mm-hmm. But I think you will have this will be interesting to see if people are starting to turn back towards their schools and giving them some voice of support.
Stephen in Bergen County, thanks for calling. You voted no last year, and you're voting yes this year?
Absolutely. I just
in what can I ask in what school district?
In Tenafly, New Jersey.
Uh huh.
It's about 6 or 7 miles from Manhattan.
Yep.
I moved my family out here so I would not have to pay $30,000 a year for private schools in Manhattan. And
instead you're paying $30,000 a year in property taxes?
I'm paying $26,500 a year for property taxes. But that's a bargain because I'm getting two kids in school.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, you've got to support the schools. This whole idea of defunding schools and giving money to charter schools and taking money away from the public system is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous because what's going on is working class people, and there are working class people that do live in Tenafly, and they cannot afford to send their kids at $25,000 or $20,000 a year to private schools, and a voucher for $6,000 doesn't mean anything to them or working class people. But what happens is people that have a lot of money, like our Governor Christie, that sends his kid to Del Barton School down in Morristown at $30,000 a year, a little check for $5,000 for each kid, that's a big nut.
So support the public schools. But do I understand that you voted no last year?
Yes, because I didn't really have a true understanding of what was going on. And for me, I'm already paying $26,000. What is another $500? That's less than a half of a percent, 5%.
Steve, thank you very much for your call. John, he mentioned the charter schools. From the New York Times today, it says TNEC is again facing a tight budget because while it is to receive an additional $900,000 in state aid, it must also provide about $1.4 million to a new charter school, resulting in an overall gap of about $500,000. But instead of raising the taxes, district officials negotiated $264,000 in salary and benefit concessions from custodians and groundskeepers, scaled back busing service, and developed alternative revenue service sources. Under the bus proposal, students in first through fourth grade who live closer than the state mandated 2 miles from school will no longer receive free busing, saving the district $260,000. In addition, the district would consolidate some bus stops to save another $85,000. So it sounds like they're making busing more difficult on kids trying to get to and from school in order to facilitate an expensive charter school. At least that's the way the Times seems to frame the TNEC choice. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, no, and it's happening. You know, it's interesting. The governor has made a big push to expand charter schools in New Jersey and approved a record number last year to be opening in the next 2 years. And the one place, while charters are typically known as being in urban areas with, you know, as alternatives to underperforming schools in the cities, the big pushback in New Jersey has been in the suburbs where these are you know, there's questions raised of why do we need alternatives to schools that are at least perceived as being pretty good, and money is really at the core of a lot of it because they're giving up. They basically, the way the funding system works in New Jersey is the local district has to pay to the charter 90% of what they pay per pupil for their own kids. And so if they lose 10 kids, they got to pay, you know, that amount, and it comes out to $10,000 or $12,000 a year. They're not necessarily saving that amount because it's, you know, it's not like they're able to close a school or even close a section of a grade or something of the sort. So they see this as really money that they're paying out that they're not paying on the inside. And you're seeing this kind of pressure, and it's arising specifically in a lot of suburban communities. We also have these quote-unquote boutique charter schools that are aimed towards, you know, very specific focuses, a Hebrew language school, a Mandarin language school. These are the two that are most prominent in New Jersey, mm-hmm. and folks are raising questions on those. I mean, you're seeing these pressures, and it's really sort of become the battleground of charters in this state as opposed to the cities where, to be honest, about 8 or 9 out of 10 exist.
Let's hear from a couple of more voters from around the state. Paul in Jersey City, you voted yes on your school budget last year, but you're voting no this year?
Yes. Hi, Brian. That's correct.
Because?
Well, this is more about a referendum on the school board we've got, which passed a deficit budget with a tax increase in this environment in a very non-transparent and hard-to-figure-out way. So cutting educational programs while continuing to increase administrative spending.
Thank you very much. Catherine in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. I don't don't have kids, and sometimes I don't bother with voting with the school board elections, and I didn't last year. But this year I'm definitely voting yes to support the teachers. I live in a suburban community that has a lot of immigrants, very good schools. We really need the schools to be supported out in the suburbs.
Yes. Now, Edison, John Mooney, you want to get in on this? And Catherine, you can stay. Edison was very much an area of controversy last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they took some very, very steep cuts there, too. That was a tough year. Edison, one of the larger districts in the state, was really hammered under Governor Christie's funding. And this year they got some of that money back. I think they're a good example of a district that very well may, be rallying in support. I don't think they're restoring a lot of, I mean, that's one of the things that happens is once these cuts are made, and I had a story today involving Livingston, which also made some steep cuts, they generally don't come back. And it might be busing, like your previous caller mentioned. But districts often learn to live with these things. Sometimes they'll bring them back if there's a lot of public pressure.
Right, and that seems to be the case in Edison to some degree. I realize there's more state funding than last year and also some federal funding to keep teachers' jobs saved. But the Times today says that district, which cut a total of $18 million last year, plans to bring back middle school sports, after-school bus service, and stipends for advisors to clubs and honor societies. So, Catherine, is that what you feel you're voting for, those restorations?
Yes. One of the only things, really, that this area has going for it, because we've lost so many jobs, are the good schools. And I would be very concerned about Edison, Middlesex County in general, if the schools were to be defunded any more than they already are.
Thank you very much for your call. Does this, John Mooney, before you go, pit homeowners against school children? And sometimes they're the same families, obviously, families with children who own homes in the district, but sometimes they're not, especially a lot of aging homeowners whose kids are already grown. So does this pit homeowners against school children, this 2% property tax cap?
Yeah, I mean, it always does. I mean, these elections, it's oftentimes, you hear about it, it's parents, and young families against senior citizens whose kids have been through the system and living on fixed incomes. It's clearly one of the pressures that's mounting. I guess this year, with the cap keeping a lid on some of these things, that you're not quite seeing that kind of pressure from, the taxpayer, quote unquote, and the homeowner. And one of the reasons why I think you're going to have a calmer election.
All right. John Mooney from NJSpotlight.com. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, two views of the Goldstone Report on the war in Gaza and the place of human rights organizations in passing judgment on the Middle East. Stay with us.